Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, that where he is, we may be also. And so we thank God for another Sunday morning where we can get together and lift up the name of Jesus. It is he who declared, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, that he would draw all men unto himself. And so that's what we've come to do today. We've come simply to lift up the name of Jesus. Because whether we realize it or not, he's worthy to be praised. And God has said in his word that now is the time for those who worship him, that they must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so we've come to worship God in that manner today. We've come to give him honor. We've come to give him glory. We've come to give him praise. Because truly God is worthy of all our praise. We're going to invoke him and invite him in this morning with the word of God in Psalm 24. Let us recite that together. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, who he has founded upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Keep silence. Keep silence, keep silence, keep silence before that Reverend Lindsay will lead us in a word of prayer this morning. Good morning, Reverend Lindsay.
Good morning, Pastor Kason. Good morning, heart of God. Let us pray this morning. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory upon the heavens. Father God, we come this morning with grateful hearts, thanking you for another beautiful Sunday that thou hast ordained. Father God, we thank you because truly thou hast been mighty good unto us. We thank you for grace and mercy that allow us to get up one more time. And Father God, we thank you because you have not dealt with us according to our sins and our iniquities, but you've given us a little more grace, and for that we are grateful this morning. And Father God, I pray now in the name of Jesus, as you look on our hearts, oh God, and if you see anything this morning that's not pleasing in thy sight, I ask that you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sanctify us in your word and in your blood, oh God. And Father God, make us to be the servants, oh God, that you would have us to be for today. And Father God, whatever we do and say, I pray, oh God, that we would lift you up. Father God, through the lifting up of your name, Lord Jesus, that you will be glorified and you will draw all men unto you. And Father God, we come this morning just asking that you would look on your servant, Pastor Anthony B. Kason, Senior. Oh God, we pray, Lord, that you continue to be his help and his strength. Oh, God, continue to gird him up on every leading side. And, Father God, as he prepared to bring a word from you today, Father, I pray, oh, God, that you will touch our hearts, oh, God. Open up our hearts that we might receive your word. Oh, God, open up our eyes spiritually, oh, God, that we might see your glory and see, Father God, your many blessings and your many benefits, oh, God. And then, Father God, I pray that you will touch our ears, oh, God, that as we listen, oh, God, Father God, that we will listen with understanding. We will hear the truth, oh, God. The truth will set us free, oh, God. And, Father God, that we will be better witnesses unto you. Father God, we pray for First Lady Kason. We pray for her today, oh, God. We pray for her strength. We pray for her healing virtue today, oh, God. We pray that you will touch, heal, and deliver. Look on her legs in a special manner, oh, God. Father God, only you can heal. So we're leaning and depending on your Father. And, oh, God, we pray for the first family. We pray for the grandchildren. Oh, God, we pray that you look on every member of the heart of God this morning. You know what we stand in the need of, Father. And then, Father God, I pray for everyone that, Father God, is listening to you this morning. Whatever mode you allow them to hear your word, oh, God, I pray that the word will come through with clarity, boldness, and power and strength, oh, God. Father God, that your people will be edified, that your people will be strengthened, that your people will be delivered, oh, God. Father God, that your people will know that there is a hope in serving the living and true God. Father God, we thank you this morning. We bless you and we praise you this morning. We say hallelujah to your name because truly you've been mighty good unto us. We thank you, we bless you, and we praise you. And, oh, God, we pray for your church today, Father. We pray for churches, oh, God, that has opened up their doors, Father God. We pray for churches, oh, God, whatever mode of communication that you are using them for your glory. We pray, Father God, that you will touch your people. And, oh, God, we pray for those that don't know you, Lord Jesus, that through the preached word, that they will come to know you as Lord and Savior. And, Father God, the ones that do know you, Father, that you will continue to hold us in the palm of your hand. Continue to keep us, oh, God. Continue to lead us and guide us, oh, God, because we can't do nothing without the power of your Holy Spirit. So, oh, God, now, Father God, in Jesus' name, we surrender all to you. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you have your will and have your way. And whatever is said today, that your name will get the glory, the honor, and the praise. And we thank you, we love you, and we bless you. We thank you, Jesus. We bless you and we praise you because thou art God. And beside you, there is no other. And we love you and we give you glory for these and all blessings. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. We thank Brother Lindsay for that fervent prayer. Amen. Just a little talk with Jesus will make it all right. We want to go to a morning hymn this morning, a morning hymn. One of the old ones I used to seen with my mom when she would go downstairs and she would tune up that piano that my dad bought her. Amen. And she would sing to the glory of God, and all of the children would gather around, and we would sing, and it was a good time, amen, to sing praises to the Lord. And the song is hymn number 6, and says, "Joyful, joyful, we adore thee." It's a song that's been sung many ways, many different types of way, but it's something to hear that piano when she would play it, and the pauses and the emphasis she would give to it, and then we would sing it in the various churches that we would go to. It would bring joy because it would cause us to reflect on the goodness of the Lord. And the first verse is, "Joyful, joyful, Lord, we, joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, hail thee as the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day." And as we would sing and we would go through these verses, it would give us a reflection and perspective on God with this hymn of joy. So let's sing it together. "Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, hail thee as the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect thy ways. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Fields and forests, vale and mountain, blessing meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed, wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou the Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine. Metal join the mighty echo chorus with the morning stars begun. Father love in reigning o'er us, brother love by man to man. Ever singing march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music lift us onward in the triumph of life. And we would sing that, "Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, hail thee as the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the doubt of dark away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. And we would sing and we would give God the glory, we would give him the praise, because truly God had given us joy in the midst of our going through, in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our troubles, in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our sadness. God would some kind of way give us joy, whether it was a joy, amen, that would cause tears to run down your face, whether it was a joy that would cause you to scream and shout hallelujah, whether it was a joy that would allow you to clap your hands or stomp your feet or run and give God the praise. It was a joy. It was something on the inside that gave you a perspective of how good God was, of how God had kept you, how God had held you, how God has made way for you, how God had turned your situation around, and how God had given you another chance and another chance and another chance and another chance, how God continued to pour out his love. And so we would sing these joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore thee, God of mercy, God of love. How we would continue to say, God, I thank you that you've given me joy even in the midst of my trial, that you've given me joy even in the midst of my struggle, that you've given me joy even in the midst of my going through, that I can still say that you are good and that you're greatly to be praised, that you're still God and God all by yourself, that in the midst of all these things, you give us a godly perspective, that you have never left us, that you have never forsaken us, and we can say, joyful, joyful, Lord, we do adore thee. Hallelujah. Let's give God some praise this morning, because truly we adore God, and we have the joy, unspeakable joy, that the Lord God above has given us. We thank God today. Amen. For the joy of the Lord truly is our strength. Amen. Amen. We're going to go to our worshiper this morning. We're going to go to our first worshiper, last four digits, 0025. 0025. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, First Lady. Good morning, everyone. Truly, I just thank God this morning, for truly he is a mighty good God. Yes, he is. And truly, this is just another day that the Lord has kept me. And I thank God for being a God that is a keeper. For truly, he is a prayer-answering God, and he is the keeper of my soul. And so I just thank God this morning for everything that he has done and what he's doing and what he's going to do, not only in my life, but in the life of my children, my family, my pastor and First Lady, and Heart of God Baptist Church. So I just say to you this morning, keep on keeping on. There is a blessing in the pressing, and we have to keep on pressing toward the mark of the high calling in Jesus Christ. And so I just thank God this morning for just holding me, shielding me, protecting me, and loving me with an everlasting and a steadfast love. God bless you all, and have a very blessed week.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We're going to go to our next worshiper. That's what digit 3343. 3343. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Everyone, thank you, Father, for touching me this morning with my eyes open and my feet on the ground. And Father, we said thank you. Gave me another second chance to look above this ground and say thank you, Jesus, that you brought me a mighty long way. And we look back at the life that we come through, that, and you brought us and gave us a chance to look back at the life we've been and ask you forgiveness for any sin that we've done, dear Father. We said thank you, Jesus, for being so good for us and all this thing you brought to us in your blessed holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We're going to go to our First Lady this morning. Good morning, First Lady.
Good morning, Heart of God. To God be the glory for the great things he has done and what he will continue to do in our lives and in Heart of God's life. I'm just blessed to be here, blessed to hear everyone's voice, and I pray that everyone has a blessed week. And remember to call somebody, let them know that you love them, that you care for them. And it's a blessing just to hear their voice and that they're doing well. You all have a blessed week. Love you all. Hugs and kisses. Bye-bye.
Amen. Thank you, First Lady. We're going to go to our next worshiper. Last word is 7971. 7971, good morning.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, First Lady and Heart of God Church this morning. It's just a blessing to be in the circle of love this morning to give thanks to God for what he has done in our lives. I would like to thank all of you, Pastor, First Lady, the Prayer Warriors, Reverend Lindsay, Reverend Sykes, and the Heart of God Church for their loving support in the loss of our dear sister Becky. It has kept us motivated to hold on to God's unchanging hand, because he said in his word that he would never leave us nor forsake us, and he would be with us always. And we have lived that word these last few weeks. And it's such a blessing to know that God is still in control. We've had a rough time in letting go, but we know that she's in a better place and she's with God. And if without knowing him and not being in touch with God 24/7, it tells us that life goes on. And one day, yesterday, we had two funerals to attend, and we lost two great friends, and another friend had a massive stroke. But then at the end of that day, we were able to see our beautiful niece walk down the aisle, happy, doing her marriage, renewal of her marriage. And it goes on to show you, he's in control, and there's going to be sorrow. There's going to be trials and tribulations. But life goes on, and we thank God that we can still hold on to his unchanging hand, and he loves us, and we love him. We give him all the praise and all the glory this morning because he lives. He lives in all of our lives, and I thank God that we are part of his life because he creates us to be that. You all have a blessed week. We thank you. Our family thanks you all. And you have a blessed and glorious week. And continue to hold on to God's unchanging hand because he has you in his hand. Thank you and amen.
Praise God, everyone. Good morning to all of you. God bless you, Pastor and First Lady and Heart of God Church, for all that you do. I just want to give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His grace and his mercy endureth forever. God is so good. God is so good. He is a great God, and he can do anything but fail. He can move so many mountains out of our way.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
God is a wonderful God.
Yeah.
All of you be blessed. You all stay strong. Continue to keep me and my family, my sister's family, in your prayers. You all have a blessed and safe day, a blessed and safe week. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We're going to go to our next worship. Last four digits, 4629, 4629. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. I thank God for another day, keeping me through another week, getting through safely. Thank God for all the blessings he's given us and continues to keep us through these weeks. Pray that everybody has a great week, and hope to see everybody eventually soon.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We go to our next worshiper, Lance, what did you, 1741, 1741, good morning.
Good morning, Pastor Kason. Good morning, Father God. I praise God this morning for his goodness. Thank him for his hand of mercy, grace, and love. I thank God because he is a healer. He is a keeper. And I just pray that you all continue to just keep my family in prayer. I thank God for traveling grace for my son and daughter-in-law and the grandchildren. Also, I thank God for my sisters and brothers and family members. Heart of God, I thank God for you, and I pray that God will continue to strengthen you, continue to be your healer, continue to be your way maker. And I just want to leave, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We're going to go to our next worshiper. Last four digits, 4847, 4847. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to everybody. Praise God for a wonderful day. I still have my eyes opened, and I'm able to hear the word of God. I pray that God will continue to bless each and every one that is on the line and then extend it out to all the world. This is Mom Gwen. I've been listening, but I haven't been in early enough to say anything. So know that I love you, heart of God. I did sit in on Sunday school this morning, and I thank God for that. May you have a totally wonderful day, and know that always, even though you may not hear me, you are always in my heart. I love you so much. Have a great day. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We thank God, amen, for all of the prayers of the righteous and the saints, those who know the word of God and continue to keep all of us lifted up in prayer. We're going to ask that Reverend Sykes get ready to lead us in prayer. We are thankful to God for all those that are continuing to pray, all of those that are recipients of prayer. We were able to minister with Deacon Bryce earlier this week and able to talk with many of the church family, and she's yet holding on, amen. And it's good to be able to fellowship with her in the rehab center, and we know that she's still holding on to God's unchanging hand. Know that all of those who have been on the battlefield, amen, that we have ups and downs, and we have struggles, and all of those who have had loved ones and promoted to glory to be with the Lord, amen, that you miss them, amen, and that you know that God has a way of comforting us in the midst of our going through. Continue to pray for Sister Lee as this week she was at home going service for her eldest son, and just continue to pray for all of us. Know that all of us are none exempt, amen, for the trials and the tribulation of this world. But it's good to know you got some folk praying for you, some folk talking to the Lord on your behalf, and that folk care for you. So continue to pray one for another as we trust and hold on to God's unchanging hand. So continue to pray for our president and our vice president, all of our the House and the Senate, all of the local and federal governments, men and women in uniform. I know we celebrated Veterans Day, all of our veterans on last week, and those men and women around the world that are keeping us safe, and continue to pray for school teachers and all of our children that are going to school, and all of the parents and all the churches all over this world, amen, that are open in the name of Jesus, that God will continue to reign supreme and that his will be done in all of our lives. So I ask Reverend Sykes to lead us in prayer this morning. Reverend Sykes.
Let us pray. it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. And Father God, it's in the name of Jesus that we come with praise and thanksgiving in our hearts. O God, we thank you for your loving kindness and your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness to us, Father. Thank you for your hand of mercy and grace. O God, we thank you for the fellowship, O God, with our brothers and sisters on this morning. O God, we thank you because we love you and we adore you, O God, on this morning. O God, we ask, Father God, that you will continue to lead, guide, and direct us on this journey called life. Lord, we thank you for the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your healing virtues, God. God, we thank you, Father, this morning for being our protector, for being our protection. We thank you for the angels that watched over us while we slumbered and slept. Oh, God, we thank you for being a prayer-answering God because you are a mighty and a great and you are an awesome God. Oh, God, we will continue to pray, to trust, and to watch you work in the lives of your people, Father. You are a God of all comfort. And so, God, we thank you this morning, Father. And we know, God, that you specialize in things that seem impossible. But, God, we just ask that you would allow your healing hand to rest upon your people on this morning, Father. And, Father God, we know we are living in troubled times. And when life throws us curveballs, Father God, we still know that you're still God and that you're still our refuge and that you're still our strength and that you are a very present help in the time of trouble. And so, Father God, this morning, Father God, we lift up mankind to you this morning. We pray this morning, Father, for all of our pastors and for all of our servant leaders and all of our churches. We come praying this morning, Father God, for all of our communities and those that are in hospitals and nursing facilities. We pray for all families, and we pray for all families near and far, as well as all bereaved families, God.
Yes,
continue, Lord. Father God, to comfort and strengthen them, Father God, in this their time of sorrow, Father. And, Father God, we come, Father God, this morning with all types of challenges in our lives, Father God. But, God, we know that you're a God that's able to do anything but fail. And so, God, we pray this morning for Pastor Kayson. We pray this morning for our First Lady Kayson and the entire Heart of God Baptist Church family. And, Father God, we come praying for our sister churches this morning as well. And, Father God, we just thank you. We love you. We adore you, Father God. And we know that you are more than enough, Father God. Because the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it, and they are safe, Father. And so, Father, we thank you this morning, and we bless your name this morning. Oh, God, we thank you this morning because, God, you have brought us from a mighty long way, Father God. But down through the years, Father God, you have blessed us. You have kept us, oh, God. You have been faithful to us, oh, God. And you have worked many miracles, oh, God, in all of our lives, Father God. And so we continue to look to you, Father God, who is the author and the finisher of our faith on today, Father God. And so we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory on this day, Father God, because you are worthy to be praised, Father.
Yes,
keep us, Lord Jesus, as the apple of your eye, Father God. And, God, we will forever give your name the praise, the honor, and the glory. Oh, God, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Oh, God, we thank you, and we love you, and we adore you. And we just say hallelujah to your name this morning, Father God. For truly, God, you have been good to us, Father God. And we thank you, and we bless your name and praise your name. And we ask all of these things in the mighty and matchless and powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and thank God.
Amen, amen, and thank God. Thank God for prayer, amen. Thank God, amen, is an awesome, awesome prayer-answering God. And we know that God, amen, is true to his word. I'm going to say that again, that God is true to his word, that he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. And so we can hold on to his unchanging hand. Thank you, Reverend Sykes, for that fervent prayer. Thank you all for your testimonies. Thank you all for your steadfastness in the Lord. Amen. It is a great thing, amen, to be able to be on one accord, amen, with the believers in God, amen, and know that Holy Spirit, amen, will minister to our spirits, our mind, our body, our soul. So we thank God for, amen, fellowship of the church. We want to focus your attention today to the book of 1 Thessalonians, the book of 1 Thessalonians. And we want to go to the fifth chapter of the book of 1 Thessalonians. And as we look at this first chapter of the book of 1 Thessalonians, we want to see how the Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter, amen, recognizes that the church lives in a world, amen, that's filled with trials and tribulations and ups and downs, and that it is important for us to realize that just like the church of the first century, I believe that Paul founded the church of Thessalonica in the first century, that the church was just like today. It was filled with some ups and some downs, and in the midst of some trials and tribulations. But God anointed his servant Paul, as well as Timothy and Silas, to be able to minister during the ups and the downs of the life of the church during the first century. And that God also anoints his leaders today to minister during the ups and the downs of the trials and the tribulations of the church going through the midst of this world that we live in. And so as we look at First Thessalonians chapter 5, we want to go down to verse 12, and we're going to read a few verses down from verse 12. So that's First Thessalonians, the fifth chapter, and beginning at verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. And verse 16, he said, rejoice evermore. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. And in verse 18, he says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It goes on in verse 19 and says, quench not the spirit. In verse 20, despise not prophesying. Verse 21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. And in verse 23 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 24, it says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Paul goes on in verse 25, says, brethren, pray for us. Greet all brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ would be with you. Amen. For a few moments this morning, we want to speak from the subject, amen, an attitude, amen, of gratitude, an attitude of gratitude. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to stand and to declare your word. And Father, I ask that you will forgive me of my sins, O God, that you will be faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, O God, that I may be a pure vessel used by you, O God, that the sinners would be converted, the saints would be edified, but most of all, God, you would receive honor and glory to your name. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary, Lord, for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary, Lord, for you. And so as we, my brothers and sisters, look at this book of First Thessalonians, we look at it in a time and a season, amen, where we are getting ready to go into what we call a holiday season, or holy day season, where we celebrate the work of God, the celebration of the work of God and how he allowed his son to be our greatest gift. As we celebrate Thanksgiving in approximately 11 days and approximately 41 days, where we'll be celebrating Christmas. And after that, we will be celebrating a new year. And how during these times, amen, we reflect and we look back on the great times that God has allowed us to experience with our loved ones, those who are still living, those who have passed on to be with the Lord. The record says that they are asleep in God. And as we prepare to go into the end of the year, there is from time to time, amen, a spirit that tries to come upon us, a spirit of depression, a spirit of loneliness, a spirit of sadness. And so as the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, he was aware that this was a new church that he had founded on his second missionary journey, and that the church, like today, was going through some ups and downs. In chapter 4, he realized that they were concerned about the coming of the Lord, on the day of the Lord, and when the Lord would come back for his church. And there were concerns about those who had died previously without the Lord coming back. And he told them without a shadow of a doubt, amen, that there was no need to worry like those that did not have hope, but that those who had died in the Lord, amen, would not be prevented by those who remain, but that at the day of the Lord, that the Lord would crack the sky and that the trump would sound. The dead in Christ would be raised first, and those of us who would remain would be caught up to meet Jesus in the air. And so he told them, amen, that even though you had loved ones who had outrun you and had passed on and that are asleep in the Lord, to not be discouraged and not to mourn like those who had no hope, but to continue to pursue the work of the Lord. And so Paul encouraged them that even in the midst of a first century church in the area of Thessalonica, that it was possible to continue to keep oneself spiritually, continue to keep oneself spiritually and physically and mentally by keeping oneself in the Lord. And so we find Paul ministering to them, and particularly in verse 23 of this fifth chapter, to let them know that there were three things, amen, that would allow them to maintain in the midst of an evil and a perverse world, that they could continue, amen, to give thanks unto the Lord and realize that that was the will of God concerning them. And so those three things, those three areas that God wanted them to have an attitude of gratitude was, is that God could keep you, amen, holy in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. That this attitude of gratitude could continue to foster in the midst of trials, in the midst of tribulation, because God could keep you. And at verse 23 it says, and that the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can have an attitude of gratitude because we know that God has us spiritually. He knows that he has us in our soul, and he has us in our body. And we have to recognize that we are a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. We are a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. And so God recognizes these three parts of us that make up us, that we have the spirit where our connection is with God, the spirit man on the inside, the spirit that God has given us, that to every believer, that God has baptized us into the body of Christ by his spirit. And so we have a part of God, which is God's spirit. And not only do we have God's spirit, but we have a soul. And the soul is the place of our emotions and our thoughts. And so we have a God that understands our emotions and understands our thoughts and the seat of our heart and the seat of our emotions. And so he understands that, yes, we have his spirit, but we're not just spirit, but we're also soul also. But then God also recognizes that we live in a physical body. And sometimes these physical bodies, they get a little weak and they get a little tired and they can get sick and they can get beat down. And sometimes when your body gets beat down, it affects your emotions or your soul, and you have tears and you have emotions and you have crying and you have all kinds of thoughts of what's going on. And then even though we're spirits, sometimes we get a little weary in our spirit. We need to be rejuvenated in our spirit. And so God says, in all of these things I understand, and I can give you a peace, and I can let you know that I'm going to sanctify you wholly, and not only in your body, not only in your soul, but also in your spirit, and I will be able to preserve you blameless unto the coming of the Lord, and to the coming of God, where he cracks the sky and redeems us back to himself. And so he says in verse 24, he says, faithful is he that calleth you, who will also will do it. In other words, God is faithful to be able to keep you mind, body, and spirit. God is the one that will allow you to be able to maintain and to endure even in the midst of this world that we live in. And so Paul is writing to them to let them know that these things that try to bring you down physically, that try to bring you down spiritually, that try to bring you down emotionally in your soul, that God can preserve you and God can help you, and God can help you get through these things. Many times during the holidays or the holy days, people go into depression. many times after daylight saving time ends and it begins to get dark quicker in the evening, people's psyche, their spirit, their soul, and their bodies, they have a tendency to react in a way that causes them to lag low, that causes them to be in a attitude of unhappiness and unjoy and believing and all the things that come along with depression. And so God says, but I want you to understand that I've got you spiritually. I've got your soul. I've got your body. And you don't have to worry about these things because I am the one that will do the sanctifying. I am the one that will do the preserving. I am the one that is able to keep you. I am the one that is able to lift you up. I am the one that is able to minister to you when you don't feel like it spiritually, when you don't feel like it in your soul, and you don't feel like it in your physical body. And so Paul is writing to them to let them know the way to how to get to this place where you can have an attitude of gratitude and allow the Spirit of God to minister to you. And so what he does is he goes on, he says, you got to watch out for some certain things. There's certain things that we have to watch out in our lives because these things will pull you down, these things that are not of God, and those things are to get caught up in the ways of the world. We can't allow ourselves to get caught up in the ways of the world. We have to continue to hold on to God. We have to continue to hold on to God's ways, but not only continue to hold on to God's ways, but continue to demonstrate them and carry them out. It's one thing to know the ways of God, but it's another thing to be able to carry him out. It's one thing to know what thus said the Lord, but it's another thing to do what thus said the Lord. And so Paul is writing them to let them know it's going to be all right. It's going to be fine. It's going to work itself out. Paul, when he ministered to this church in Thessalonica, when we were studying in the book of Acts, they were some rough folk. There were some folk that tried to take Paul and Silas and Timothy out. They didn't want to hear the word of God. They were stiff-necked. They were ornery. They were at a point where they didn't even want to be bothered with God. And Paul knew that this new church that was in Thessalonica was getting and going through some rough times. And that's the same thing with us today. We live in a world where people don't like God. They don't want to hear about God. They don't want to hear about love. They don't want to hear about anything that requires us to love one another and be nice to one another and to not be on get back with each other and always in an uproar and turmoil. And these things can bring you spiritually down. These things can trouble your emotions and your soul. These things can make you weary in your physical body. And so Paul says, I understand how these folks are in Thessalonica. These some rough folk. These were the same folk that ran Paul out of town. These were the same folk. And when Paul got to Athens, they came after when he was on his way to Athens, and these were the same folk that when he was in Berea that chased after him to try to take him out. But the people of God got together and prayed, and the people of God supported each other, and the people of God had the same mind and the same fellowship, and they were able to endure these ungodly situations and circumstances that the church was facing. And so my brothers and sisters, just like in the first century church, the people of God today, we have the ability through the Spirit of God to be able to love each other, to be able to fellowship with each other, to be able to pray for each other, to be able to encourage each other, to be able to look out for each other, that even in the midst of this trial and the tribulation, this evil, perverse world, that we can make it and we can do the things that God, that is pleasing in the sight of God, because God is with us and God will sanctify our spirit holy, our souls holy, and our body holy. He will do it, but we have to rely and lean and depend on him, and we have to recognize the attack of the enemy that will try to bring us down, that will try to get us to go in depression, that will try to get us to stop rejoicing and forget about how good God is. But let's look at what Paul says to be spoke, amen, in Thessalonica. In verse 5, in chapter 5, verse 1, he says, but of the times and the season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. In other words, Paul is letting them know that you know about God, and you know that God has not told anyone when he was coming back. In verse 2, he says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. In other words, Paul is letting them know that God is going to come on his own time, but until he comes, we need to conduct ourselves in a godly way. And so in verse 3, he says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them, and travail upon a woman, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. In other words, God says, we know that God's coming. We don't have to mourn like those who have no hope. We understand that God is already taking care of our loved ones who's passed on before us. We know that God has a time in his time frame, and we know that those that don't know God will be taken off guard, and that they will be in a place where they cannot escape. And so God has this thing under control. And this is what Paul is saying. We can have an attitude of gratitude because God is in control. In verse 4, he says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that they should overtake you as a thief. In other words, you have to have confidence in God that nothing that this world is going to do is going to take you off guard, because you can have an attitude of gratitude because you have a relationship with God. In verse 5, he said, you are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. In other words, God shining his light in us and through us, that we know that God has us. We can have an attitude of gratitude because we know that God has his mind, body, and soul, that he has every situation under control. Even in death, we know that our loved ones who die in the Lord, amen, God has got them, and that one day when God cracks the sky, that they're going to be raised and we're going to be raised with them, amen, to meet the Lord in the air. In verse 6, he says, therefore, let us not sleep also as those others, but let us watch and be sober. In other words, let us not behave like those that don't know God. Let us not get drawn into the things of this world that will cause us to worry and to be upset and to mope all the time. In verse 7, he says, for they that sleep in the night and they that be drunken are drunk in the night. In other words, these folks have no idea. So this is why they get drunk. This is why they hang out. This is why they're not in the light, because they don't know God. They don't know the things of God. And so we have to be the light in this world that show those that are in darkness the things of God. And in verse 8, he said, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. And so we can have an attitude of gratitude because God has given us a breastplate of faith, that God has given us his love, that God has given us his hope, that God has given us his salvation. And so we have our hope and we have our salvation in God. We have our love in God and we have our faith in God. And so we can have an attitude of gratitude because we have the faith of God, the love of God, the helmet of salvation, the hope of God. And because we have these things, even though the world is upside down, even though the world has trials and tribulations, we can still behave in a manner, amen, a godly manner, because we know we have a relationship with God. And so in verse 9, he says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at somebody and say, God's got this thing under control. God's got your salvation under control. And my brothers and sisters, if God has got your salvation under control, if God has got the salvation of your loved one under control, we can have an attitude of gratitude, because if God saved us, Lord have mercy, from the wages of sin, he has the ability to control life and death and the grave. He has the ability to take care of every situation that presents itself to us while we're yet on this earth. Look at what God says in verse 10. He says, who died for us, that what whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. In other words, God died, amen, that we might live, that God paid the price that we couldn't pay. And because God died and paid the price that we could not pay, we should have an attitude of gratitude to understand that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And so Paul lays this out to the new church. Pastor Paul lays it out and says, keep this attitude of gratitude. Don't let the world try to tell you anything other than that God is good and God has saved your soul and God has given you faith, love, hope, and salvation to be able to sustain in the midst of this evil and perverse world. He says in verse 11, he says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also ye do. In other words, what God is saying, knowing that God is so awesome, knowing that God has worked this thing out from start to finish, we should have an attitude of gratitude and we should look out for each other. And that's what I love about Heart of God Church. We look out for each other. We might have some ups and we might have some downs, but in the end, we look out for each other. We should have an attitude of gratitude that there are folk, amen, in our church, there are folk in our body of Christ that are looking out for us. Paul wants the church to understand that there's going to be some folk that don't know God. They're going to act like they're off the chain. But those who do know God, amen, should be on one accord, and we should help each other, that we should fellowship with each other, that we should keep our prayer going for each other, amen, because we are grateful to God that God has got the situation under control. I don't care what you're going through. Someone say God specializes in the things that we call impossible. We know the God that we serve has overcome the impossible, amen, that we might have life and life are more abundant, that we might have salvation, that we might have hope, that we might have faith, that we might have love in him, that our spirit, our mind, our soul, and our body are preserved and protected and sanctified by him. And so he says, comfort yourself. In other words, he said, encourage one another. He said, build each other up and keep doing it. And don't let anybody get you in a situation where you start acting ungodly and stop encouraging each other and stop building each other up and stop treating each other in love. God says, don't get into that mode, amen, where you forget the God that saved you, that looked past your fault and saw your need, the God that saw you when you were in the muck and the miry clay. He said, keep helping, keep praying, keep comforting, keep building each other up. And so he says in verse 12, because Paul had gone through some rough times with these Thessalonican folk, he said, also you need to, in verse 12, he said, also we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. In other words, the leaders of the church, he said, you need to remember them, because it ain't easy trying to minister and pastor and to maintain faithful steadfastness in the midst of these Thessalonican folks, in the midst of this worldly folks. In the NIV, he says, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, who admonish you. In other words, Paul is saying, look after the leaders of the church. Make sure that you acknowledge them. Make sure that you recognize them. Make sure that you're thankful to them for their labor in the Lord, that they go before the Lord in prayer and that they continue to call and reach out and minister to you. Paul said, we're in this thing together, but don't think it's an easy thing that the leaders have, but remember that we're in this spiritual battle with you. We're in this spiritual warfare with you, and it will work out better for you if we're lifted up in prayer, if we're continue to be encouraged, continue to be able to have someone pray for us, encourage us, to let us know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord, someone to give you a call and say, I appreciate you, and someone to give you a call and say, I thank you for staying standing in the gap. I thank you for being the one that let me know when I was going astray, how I needed to come back. And Paul says, it's not easy to be in leadership in the midst of an evil and a perverse world. So not only look after yourself, but also make sure you look after the leaders that are waging war with you in this spiritual warfare in this life. And he says in verse 13, he says, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And in verse 13 in the NIV, it says, hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And it's easy to minister when people are loving each other, and when people are living in peace with each other, then you don't have to constantly correct folk and constantly engaging folk when they're acting ungodly. He says remember them and esteem them highly and act like you got some act right. Lord have mercy is what he's trying to say. He said don't get in a situation where they got to jump in and keep the peace. Act like you know God. Act like you grateful to God what God has done for you and what God has in store for you. And so you won't have to be so worrisome to those that are in leadership and those that are trying to keep the church together. And he goes on to say in verse 14, he says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. In other words, there's going to be some things that happen in this world. There's some things that happen where you have to warn the unruly. You have to comfort those that are weak-minded. You have to comfort those that are feeble. You have to comfort and be patient with everyone. Everybody's not on the same page. Everyone's not is solid and rooted and grounded in you. So what Paul is saying, don't think, amen, everybody's going to be perfect, but have patience for those who are growing, patience for those that don't know any better, patience for those who are making mistakes. Be patient with them. Understand you just can't get mad and flick out and kirk out and go off on them, but God says you have to have an understanding spirit because God didn't flick out, God didn't kirk out, God didn't go off on you, amen, when you were unruly, when you were feeble-minded, when you were weak, but he had patience with you. And so have an attitude of gratitude is to be able to have patience with people that are still struggling in this walk of life. Yeah. And so he goes on in verse 15, and he says, see that none render evil for evil. Lord have mercy. Let me read that in the NIV. Some people heard about get back. Lord have mercy. In verse 15 in the NIV says, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. In other words, don't get on get back. See, getting on get back will bring you down, will cause you to have to spend time and energy, your spirit energy, your emotional soul energy, your body energy. It takes more time, amen. It takes more energy. It takes more away from you to try to plan and scheme to get on get back. And so Paul is telling them, stop getting on get back. Stop getting to the point where you're pulling your spirit down because you're plotting and scheming, that you're pulling your soul down because you're plotting and scheming, that you're pulling your body down because you're plotting and scheming. Paul says, don't do that. He says, don't render for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. In other words, Paul is saying, try to get along the best you can with those in the body of Christ, those that are outside the body of Christ. Behave godly at all times because it takes too much energy away from your spirit, away from your soul, away from your body to get on get back. Paul understood what the word says, that God would repay, that God would give the punishment, that God would give the judgment, that we would have to stand up and be the children of God, that we would wait on the Lord and ask God to guide this little pink member in our mouths, and that we would not have death and life cutting people down with this little pink member in our mouth, but we would love as God said love. And God says, be good to yourselves and to all men. Lord have mercy. An attitude of gratitude would allow you to be able to carry these things out. And as I get ready to go to my seat, Paul put a whole lot out here for the church. Amen. And I know a lot of you are saying, well, that's a whole lot to ask for. But Paul wanted you to know that it can be done, and that God is going to sanctify your spirit and your soul, and preserve your body, your soul, and your spirit. And when God begins to let you know that he is the one that is in control and that in spite of the things that are happening in your life today, that you can continue to have an attitude of gratitude because God got your mind, body, and soul, that God has the one, amen, that got you wrapped up tight, that he got you in the front and got you in the back. Somebody said, he's my wheel in the middle of the wheel. And so how do you do these things, Brother Pastor? How do you continue to remain godly in the midst of an ungodly world? How can you have a rest, blessed assurance, amen, that even when you're sad and disappointed in the world and you've had loved ones go on to glory, and during the holiday season you miss them, and you have a tendency during the ending of a daylight saving time to go into a depression where your spirit is low and your soul and your emotions are raging and your body is tired. He says, how do we do these things? We know what the word says, but how do you carry these things out? How can you continue to keep a attitude of gratitude in the midst of these things? Brother Paul, we know you know what we're going through because they treated you rough when you came here on your second missionary journey to establish the church. Paul wanted to know in verse 16, like we talked about last week, that there's a key, amen, to being able to have an attitude of gratitude. And Paul says in verse 16, he said, what you need to do, amen, when you feel like you won't be on get back, when you feel like you don't want to mess with unruly, weak-minded, and feeble people, when you feel down, when your loved one has gone on to glory, when you miss these people, when you're not feeling good in your spirit, and your emotions are all over the place, and you're crying one moment, and you're laughing the next moment, and your physical body isn't what it used to be. Paul says, I understand all these things, but there's one thing, amen, that you can do in order to keep an attitude of gratitude. In verse 16, he says, you can rejoice evermore. In other words, what Paul says, that you need to keep your mind focused on the good things of God. And when you keep your mind on the good things of God, you have the ability to rejoice. But some folks said the wages of this world keeps coming upon me. They keep flooding me, and they keep trying to take me down in my spirit. They keep trying to take me down in my emotions. They keep trying to take me down in my physical body. But Paul says, not only should you rejoice, but he says, in order for you to continue to rejoice and overcome the onslaught of those things that were trying to take you down, mind, body, and soul, he says, you got to pray, come on now, without ceasing. I know that there's been some folk all through the global pandemic, all through the life of the church, all through the life of the ups and downs of this world that have not stopped ceasing to pray. When you get to a place where you realize that the only way that I can continue to rejoice is keep talking to the Lord, is keep the Lord prayer in my mouth, to keep bowing my knees and say, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou wilt withdraw thyself from me, whither will I go? In other words, in order for me to continue to rejoice in the Lord, in order to rejoice in the Lord, I need to talk to the Lord on a regular basis and say, Father, I understand that you are in control, but I'm feeling a little weary right now. And God will step in and give you something to rejoice about. And so what do you say? What will he give me to rejoice about? And then you go to verse 18. And when God begins to give you something to rejoice about, after you've gone to the Lord in prayer, have I got a witness? It all boils down to verse 18. See, I can rejoice when I've gone to the Lord in prayer. I can act godly in the midst of an evil and perverse world. I can rejoice in the Lord even when I had a loved one promoted to glory. I can rejoice in the Lord Even in the midst of some unruly, feeble-minded and weak people, I can rejoice in the Lord. Even when folk do things and say all manner of evil about me, I don't have to get back, because I can rejoice in the Lord, because I stay in constant prayer with the Lord. So you say, well, what is it that you're praying to the Lord about? That you can keep rejoicing in the Lord. In verse 18, as we go into this holiday season, as we're getting ready to go into Thanksgiving, Paul says, in everything, give thanks. What do you mean, brother preacher? I'm not feeling it in my spirit. I'm not feeling it in my soul. I'm not feeling it in my physical body. But what God is saying, in everything, you don't have to like it. It's not always going to be nice. It ain't always going to taste nice. It ain't always going to be right. But God is the one that will make it all right. Have I got a witness? Somebody said, I can give thanks in all things because I know God will do what he said he would do. He'll wipe the tears from my eyes. He'll come see me at midnight and give me a midnight miracle. Have I got a witness today? Have you ever prayed and rejoiced in the Lord at midnight that God turned your situation around? Because you were thankful in the midst of your trial. You were thankful in the midst of your tribulation. They scandalize your name, but you thank God. You got a name not written by man. You got a new name. Somebody said, I got a new name over in glory. Aren't you glad today that you can be grateful in the midst of your trial? And so when you begin to pray in order to be able to rejoice evermore, what you have to do is be thankful and say, God, your will be done, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In other words, if God brought you to it, God will bring you through it. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Thank you, God. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will continue to be in my mouth. Why? Because I got an attitude of gratitude. I'm not going to let my soul get depressed. I'm not going to let my spirit go down. I'm not going to get down because physically I can't do what I used to do, but I'm going to rejoice evermore because I'm going to pray to the Lord that yes, I trust you. Yes, I'm glorifying you. Yes, I'm going to thank you. Yes, I'm going to ask that your will be done. And Jesus, on the way to Calvary's cross, he followed and carried out what Paul says. You do remember the night that he was betrayed, where he prayed so hard that the sweat ran down like blood. The record says he asked the Father, Father, if it be possible, let this cup be removed from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He was able to stand up, get strengthened physically, spiritually, emotionally, all those things that we go through because he was in the will of God. He said, it is enough. I must do the work of my Father. And my brothers and sisters, when God strengthens you spiritually, soul, mind, body, and you can stand up and say, God did it. God gave me the strength. God did it. He helped me emotionally. God did it. He helped me spiritually. God did it. He healed my body. And when you can realize it was nothing but the Lord, you'll have an attitude of gratitude, and you'll rejoice. You'll rejoice. You'll rejoice. You'll rejoice. You'll rejoice in the Lord, because you realize that God is true to his word. When he told Paul, he said, God will do it. In verse 24, he says, faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. And when we realize that, there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too hard for God. There going to be some times where you going to want to get on get back. There going to be some folk that get on your nerves. There going to be some things that want to try to pull you down, mind, body, soul, and spirit. But when you continue to pray, when you continue to be thankful, when you continue to recognize that God's got your spirit, God's got your soul, God's got your body, you'll understand that God is the one that's going to get you through these things. That worry about what man going to do. Man going to be man. Man going to do what he going to do because he man. But the God we serve, good God Almighty, won't he do it? Yes, he will. He will keep you in all your way. But you got to know what to look for. Know how to stay in tune with God. Pray without ceasing. Be thankful. The Lord knows that I understand this is the will of God for my life concerning me in Christ Jesus. And I know that God is going to bring me out. And when you get to that place in your spiritual walk, you'll begin to have the ability to rejoice always in the Lord because you'll have an attitude. It's about attitude. You'll have an attitude. You'll understand. Yeah, you might come in and you might try to bum rush me and I might miss someone and I might feel a little down and I might have an aching pain, but I have an attitude of gratitude that even in the midst of these things, God still, amen, has the ability. Look what he says in that thing. What did he say in verse 23? He said that he will preserve you blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Amen. And in that verse 25, Paul said, pray for us. Oh, we got to keep praying for each other. We know, amen, the attitude of gratitude is what we have, but we got to continue, amen, to pray for each other. Amen. The attitude of gratitude. Paul was concerned for the church. We're concerned today. Amen. We get caught up in these things and we get weary in our spirit. We get weary in our soul. We get weary in our body. But God says, I got that. Amen. And you just keep praying. You just keep rejoicing. And God will work it out. Amen. I wanted to encourage you today. I know we're getting ready to go into this holiday, holy season. Amen. I know the days are getting darker early. And I know that times like these and during this season, we miss our loved ones. And it's not easy. Amen. But God will come alongside. He'll minister to your soul. He'll minister to your spirit. He'll minister to your body. And he'll allow you to get through it. Amen. And he'll do it. Amen. Somebody said, I know that's right. I know that's right. And we just need to continue to have an attitude of gratitude. Enjoy your holidays, your holy days. Enjoy your family. Enjoy the church family. Thank you so much, church family, for continuing to be a praying church family, a loving, a caring, a kind church family, that we would look after each other. Don't let the enemy come in and try to mess us up and cause us to lose our blessing on get back. We waste the energy on things that are not of God because we don't have the patience or the love with each other. But remember God's hope. Remember his love. Remember his faithfulness. Remember his salvation. And we will be able to continue to have that attitude of gratitude throughout this season. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let us pray. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you again for your word, God, that comes to us during the season that we are getting ready to go into, the holy holidays, God, where we miss the loved ones and we experience the different time frames of the moon and how dark it gets and the periods of time where we feel like lashing out or the times where we feel misused and abused in our spirit and our soul and in our body. But God, help us to lean and depend on you with an attitude of gratitude, that we would continue to give thanks in all things, realizing that this is your will concerning us, and help us to continue to be prayerful, God, that we will pray without ceasing, that in the midst of all these things, in the midst of an evil and perverse world, we can still have an attitude of gratitude, and we can still rejoice and praise you, the God of our salvation. And now may your love, the grace, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, continue to rest, rule, and abide with us both now and forever. And let the redeemed of the Lord sing together. Amen. 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 Do yourself a favor. Call somebody. Let them know that you're thankful for them, you're praying for them, and that you have an attitude of gratitude. God bless you. Heaven ever smile upon you. We'll see you again on next Sunday. God bless.